when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we've completely changed gears. We got two new drivers on this racetrack. We got Sister, the bell cow, Nancy, and we got my little sister, Braveheart. None other than Braveheart. We're getting ready for new people and new topics. I will say this one last thing before we start off. I was telling you about the feral Nigs before we left the first hour, but let me tell you this. The Nigs could not get out of control and could not maintain their campaign of murder and rape and burning and looting without, you know what? Without the support of our Jew masters that are total masters over not only the United States, but Canada, the UK, Britain, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand. I think I said Canada. There are supreme masters, and they use the blacks against whites. It's a relationship as drug dealers use pit bulls and junkyard dogs to guard their dope patches. Blacks are the pit bulls for the Jewish Satanist masters who hate our guts, and they want to kill us, and they will never, ever, ever rest until your bones as a white person and your children's bones and your grandchildren's bones are in the ground, and that still won't be good enough. They want to know where their bones are so they can come and defecate on your grave. And if that's not good enough, they will put stockyards over your grave. But keep in mind, without the Jew, the Nigs could not perform their attack dog mission. So what are you going to do tonight, Sister Nancy? That's so much for me now. My time is done. I'm going to go right to the Blood River Radio Sisters to lead us off. You and Sister Braveheart, I'm just here bringing y'all in and out of the break. So I'm ready for y'all to go.
Okay, little Eddie and Monica. Today is January the 27th, 2024. And today is a very special day. It is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. So I don't know how you all want to celebrate, but it's another one of those days dedicated to the Holocaust. We want to do our tar and feathering, which is something we try to do weekly. The goons and Jews who represent the U.S. in giving monetary aid and arms to Israel, that's who gets the tar and feathering. They want to continue their genocide of the Palestinians. And the hero I would like to mention today is Carrie Lake, who exposed a GOP bribe from the East. Now, this man who was a top official with the GOP wanted to bribe Carrie Lake from running as a senator. Now, who are these mysterious people in the East who wanted her to delay her campaign for Senate? That has not been made clear. We do know that this man, who was the top dog at the GOP, did resign after this taping was recorded and put out in the mass media. So that's kind of interesting. Who were these Eastern people? Were they Jews? What was the reason they want to stop her from running? One of the things I want to cover is what I think is very scary. It's what is going on in New York. I'd like to encourage New Yorkers to defend this man, but if you want me to, Eddie, I'll just give a little rundown on the research.
Sure. Are you going to tell us more about this Kerry Lake thing?
That's all I really know. That's all I really know.
Oh, okay. Is that
there was a bribe. There was a bribe, and all he said, it was people in the East. And all I know is, who are these people in the East who wanted to stop her campaign, delay her campaign? They were going to give her another big position, and have her delay her campaign. But all I could get out of it, these people said that they were, this man said that there were people in the East. Who are these people in the East that wanted to stop her campaign? I guess I'll go over this, Eddie, which is something I had talked about that I had done a little bit of research on. End quote, "I'm going to kill you. I'm prepared to go to jail, and I'm willing to die." End of quote. Yelling at passengers. This was a black man, supposedly somewhat insane or totally insane. Neely was, end quote, "insanely threatening at the time of the incident on a Manhattan-bound F train. He was making threats. This Jordan Neely had been previously arrested for several incidents on the subway, and it's unclear if there were any convictions. What I'm getting at, this happened on May the 1st of 2023, in which Daniel Penny, a former Marine, choked this black 30-year-old Jordan Neely. Now, Judge Maxwell Wiley has rejected Daniel Penny's bid to dismiss this case as involuntary manslaughter. There were actually three people who were trying to control this black thug on the subway, but the medical examiner, unfortunately, maybe they're going to do a little bit of more digging in this, but they said that this black who was out of control was killed by the chokehold, and so it was ruled that he was killed and it was an act of homicide. So when they had the court case recently, blacks were all up in arms. They want this young man, Daniel Penny, to go to jail, I guess, for life. They'd probably like to see him executed. The next court date is March the 20th. Now, Penny's lawyer, he has two lawyers, Stephen Razor and Thomas Kniff. Now, what I wanted to go on was this Neely had an extensive criminal record, including petty larceny, jumping subway, turnstile thief, theft, and several unprovoked assaults on women in the subway between 2019 and 2021. He was frequently homeless and had been involuntarily hospitalized for mental issues. He had been arrested over 42 times, and he was only 30 years old. In 2010, he threatened to kill his grandfather. In 2019, he attacked a male who was 68 years old. This man seemed to have been probably Hispanic. His name was Philemon Castello Balthazar. He was assaulted again on the subway, and his case was adjudicated, but the results were sealed. Interesting. He goes on to assault another man who actually broke his nose. Again, it was an attack on the platform. And let's see, 2 years later, after the assault on Balthazar, Neely was arrested for punching a 67-year-old female in the face as she exited the New York City subway. Again, this is about, these things are so hard to find out the results. 15 months in alternative incarceration program, no jail time. Well, maybe. That's hard to say.
Had a long rap sheet.
Yeah. And Mitchell Tree was randomly punched on June the 2021 by Jordan Neely outside the SK Deli Market on 2nd Avenue. They told me we had him. He's in custody. We're going to press charges. She told the Post through the judge that thought the judge would force him to take psychiatric meds, but he seems that he was bounded out. What is interesting, the other woman that he punched, actually, she ended up with a broken nose, a broken orbital bone, and swelling to the back of her head. Now, what I think is interesting, all of these people seem to be elderly, and I'll bet you $100 they were all white.
You got that right.
They were all white.
Well, Sister Nancy, we have to go to our quick break. We have to go to our first commercial break, Sister Nancy. We'll be right back. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Cool, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band waves hail to the chief, cool, they point the cannon at you.
Dear Blood River Radio family, welcome back to the second segment of the second hour of Blood River Radio. We're going to go back to Sister Nancy Hitt. She's going to wrap it up, and then we're going to bring Sister Braveheart in. Be right. We're going right back to Sister Nancy, folks.
Okay, Eddie. This black thug who died on the subway because of a chokehold in which a white man who was a former Marine was trying to be a good Samaritan, Daniel Penny. He and actually two other white guys tried to hold down this insane black, and he died supposedly from a chokehold. That could be contested because the guy, Jordan Neely, this black, could have very well died of a drug overdose. I mean, who knows? But anyway, listen to this. The day before this black died, he had already tried to push what they call in New York a strap hanger into the subway tracks, and he continued to chase others on the platform. He had a warrant out for his arrest when he died. It goes back to these assaults on a white woman. But Black Lives Matter, they want Daniel Penny, the white, I call him a good Samaritan, They want him behind bars for murder. So I wish that we could get some support in New York for this man. The blacks are raising hell, and I think he needs protection. That's it, Eddie.
All righty. That's a pretty good little report. So we'll bring Sister Braveheart in now and let her do her thing. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah. Hello. Good day, everybody. These stories are really important. They're important to illustrate what is really the crux of the matter, and that is these racial issues. It's no coincidence that one of the most weaponized terms that has been used to silence us is the word racist. If you ever dare think about the fact that maybe there's problems in all the, you know, racial mixing and miscegenation, and oh well, if you're a racist, then your thoughts are going to lead to the next Holocaust, which is very timely to make that connection, because like Nancy mm-hmm. pointed out, it's the Holohoax Remembrance Day. And so I think it's a great time for us to connect some of these dots to, you know, that big lie from how many years ago that is now. But upon that lie, they have pinned everything else. And the racial thing is really one of the biggest, it's just at the root of all our problems now, because why are they flooding our countries with all these folks from other places? Why are they flooding all white nations, you know, nations where there are European peoples? It's because they want to erase us from the map. And so these stories, like what Nancy just brought up, it's important to note that the mainstream media, they are very, very one-sided in how they report things. Now, if you take any one of these many, 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 many stories where you would reverse the races, well, then you'd have front page screaming headlines for days and weeks and months. And in fact, they have to make up stories like they did with the, what's his name? George Floyd. Was that his name? Floyd George?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've got it mixed up now. Anyway, I mean, they have to make things up to bring stories to us that make it look like all of us white people or European people are evil and hateful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just to tie something over from the first hour, Eddie, when you had a very fiery discussion with Ran, very, very good. And you mentioned, or Ran mentioned, about the UK Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of Britain being not of British blood, not an Englishman. Well, I guess mm-hmm.
Correct.
He's called British because he was born of immigrant parents. But he's an East Indian. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's obvious when you look at him that he is not of English blood. And he's of a different religion too. Now, I'm not sure if he's Muslim or Hindu or what he is.
Sister Braveheart, I have to correct myself. I've looked that up. He's not Hindu. He's Muslim.
Yeah, Muslim. So Rishi Sunak or something, Rishi something.
His name is, if I can pronounce it, Sandig, Sadig, Sadig, Khan, K-H-A-N.
Oh, I think we're talking about two different guys, Eddie, because I just looked up Rishi Sunak. Oh, no, I'm talking about the Prime Minister. So both.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
This
okay.
is excellent, 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 excellent. Because look, not only the mayor of London. The mayor of London is
the largest city in the UK.
Exactly. So not only is he, Pakistani or something, and a Muslim, but now I'm talking about Rishi Sunak, who is the Prime Minister of the whole country.
By God.
If you don't see a problem with this, and of course most normies, and I don't mean to be insulting because I used to be a normie too and just believed everything they told us, and also was, you know, quite what do you call it, Marxist educated, libtarded and all that. And I would have also been sort of, you know, pulling back and flinching at the thought that, oh, well, is there something wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Because if I say there's something wrong with that, then I'm racist. And right. we're all equal and we're all the same. And, you know, he's British too. What's wrong? Why am I against having a dark skinned man as the prime minister and then the mayor as well, and of different religion, different customs, different everything? Oh, I'm bad if I think there's anything wrong with that. Well, don't we see that that is a takeover? They're in overtly in positions of power. So anyway, that's kind of my follow up from what Nancy was telling us about, and tying it together with what you mentioned in the first hour there with these politicians, leaders who are not of our people, and yet they are leaders of our nations, our countries. And so, you know, it's not, well, look, when Barack Obama was the prime minister, the president of the United States, and lots of people who were also still, you know, normie in the normie kingdom thought, oh, isn't that wonderful. Yes. That's such a sign of progress. We've got a black president. I keep wanting to call him prime minister, being from Canada and just talking about the UK. But anyway, the president, you know, like everybody thought that was such a great progress. And then you actually look at the real background, and not only is that man downright evil, but also just the fact that, oh, well, that is basically a sign of we've been taken over. So there you go. Okay, I'm going to throw it back to one of you to
one quick point before we go to Sister Nancy. I just looked this up, and it's just so astounding. I have to think there has to be some election fraud there. It says right here, as of 2021, now the census was in England. I typed in England, not the UK, but in England. It said that whites make up 81% of the population. Of white British, 73.5, white Irish, 0.9, other whites, 6.6. But in other words, 81% of the population of England is white, but they're going to elect these non-white, these dark major politicians. That doesn't make sense to me, y'all. Is there election fraud there? Unless the British people are completely stupid, I think there has to be election fraud. But anyway, go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, Eddie and Monica, I understand where you're coming from. When we can actually see that these people, Pakistanis, look different, they have a different skin tone, they seem to be of a different religion. But guess what, folks? Our whole country is run by Jews, and they're using Aryan names. They don't use their real names in many cases. Look at the cabinet. Look at the people who are running this country. We've got a problem that's even more massive, in my opinion, because the whole country is being run by Jews, but you can't tell they're Jews.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But and of course the UK is run by Jews too. Okay, there's no question. So they have finagled and made it so that the people, you know, elected these other folks from, you know, and it just throws it right into our faces. It's kind of like they're laughing at us, don't you think? Mm-hmm. They're smearing it in our faces. Anyway, back to you.
Go ahead, Andy. I think that was what I wanted to point out, was basically that we, even though we can see the difference in the racial issues in other countries, well, even while we've had a partial black or half black as a president, but we don't understand that our whole country is run by Jews. I mean, it's been like that for years, of course.
The whole Western world, the whole entire Western world, United States, UK, Germany, France, anywhere there's a white, predominantly white nation, is run by Jew. And we'll come back to this when we come back to this latest break, folks. Hang on, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. A big payday for writer E. Jean Carroll, a jury in Manhattan believing her claims filed against Donald Trump, and now he's been ordered to pay. John Schaefer with details.
In the civil defamation case with writer E. Jean Carroll, a New York City jury has ruled that former President Donald Trump must pay her more than $83 million. Last year, the jury found Trump accountable for allegations of sexually abusing Carroll in a department store dressing room during the 1990s. That was followed by defamatory statements against her. Despite the verdict, Trump continues to assert his innocence and may choose to appeal. Trump reportedly left the courtroom and the state before the jury reached its verdict. I'm John Schaefer.
Now, in response to the jury's verdict, former President Trump taking to Truth Social and writing, "Absolutely ridiculous!" Exclamation point. I fully disagree with both verdicts and will be appealing this whole Biden-directed witch hunt focused on me and the Republican Party. Our legal system is out of control and being used as a political weapon. They have taken away all First Amendment rights. And then in capital letters, he writes, "This is not America!" Exclamation point. Now, as for the race for president, Donald Trump and Nikki Haley both focusing on the next primary state, South Carolina, which holds its contest on Saturday, February 24th. Haley telling Fox News, regardless if she wins her home state or not, she plans on continuing through the primary process. She tells America's Newsroom on Fox,
"Only two states have voted. We have 48 states left. You can't go and discount all of those voters who want to vote in this election. We're going to keep going as long as we keep growing, and I think that's what the American people want."
This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant! And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins, are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Buy machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear Blood River Radio, happy Mozart's birthday. We're going to go in. Happy Hula Hawk birthday. Anyway, now, we're going to go right back. We're going to go right back to Sister Braveheart. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Take it away, Sister Braveheart.
Okay. I wanted to bring that up, that it is Mozart's birthday today, January 27th of 1756. And, you know, yeah, I was lamenting during the break, lamenting that, geez, his birthday, then they went and put the Hall of Hoax Remembrance Day right on his birthday. That's too bad. But hey, let's talk about Mozart for a few minutes. Most people will know that he died very, very young, and he died of illness. He became very, very ill. Now, I don't know these things for sure, so please don't, you know, hold me to my feet to the fire if I say something's wrong. Maybe some of the listeners can write in and you know, correct things that I might be saying wrong. But I do believe that he had become involved with the Masons, like Freemasonic, and then I do believe that he was not going along with their program or something like that. There was some kind of I think he was murdered. This is what I'm getting at. I think that he was made sick. He died of a strange illness, and I think he was 31 years of age, something like that. And, you know, he was just so prodigiously composing, oh, beautiful, beautiful music. So much of it, too. Like, I mean, he started composing as a child. He was a child prodigy. So was his sister, by the way. His sister was very, very talented as well. Nannerl was her name, I do believe, or do I have his wife's name? I can't remember now. Maybe that was his wife's name, sorry. But anyway, Mozart, I think he was murdered by the regular, you know, the usual suspects, because I think that he was bumping heads with them. And then he also was buried as a pauper, like a pauper's grave. He did not have some big funeral, and he should have, because he was just he was already famous back then. It's not like he only became famous after his death. No, he was traveling all over the place, performing. His father was very instrumental in, pardon the pun, but he was instrumental in touring his children around to the royal houses everywhere. Like, he was performing, he was composing, he was famous in his day already. So why did he die in utter abject poverty? Nobody at his funeral, nobody at his graveside, pretty much. I think that he was murdered by the usual suspects, because he was bumping up against them, and maybe other people can enlighten us a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. Some of his music apparently was telling us stuff. Maybe you know something, Nancy?
No.
Okay.
I really don't know anything about that, no.
Okay, but anyway, it would be a subject that we could maybe research or bring more about in the future, but Mozart's birthday today, how many years ago is that? Well, 1756. It's like 69 years, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back to you.
Very interesting. I just have one thing, and I think Eddie has a lot of things to cover, but I have been doing quite a bit of reading.
Oh, there we go. We've got some Mozart. Thank you.
How about a little Mozart? It won't hurt our audience or listeners to get a little bit of culture. How about,
beautiful.
About a minute of this.
Hey, nice. Folks, that's like that. I thought I'd cut it off, but that's good stuff. I really enjoyed that. We'll have to, you know what? We need to, supposedly music, I know when I was a kid, I had to take a music class. I had to play, for God's sakes, of all things, the trombone. They made me do that. I had no choice. I had to march in the Christmas parade. I wasn't worth a flip. They made me march in the Christmas parade because they needed another body to make it look like the band was big. And I was threatened with death not to try to play that trombone. I was like sixth grade, and Southside Elementary, then we owned the Southside Junior High, the Southside High School. But, yeah, threatened with death, but you will march in the parade, come hell or high water, and you'll – I was supposed to look like I was going to play it any minute. But the instructor said that there was a big – he said there was a real tight correlation between music and medicine. And he said that there was a genius. He said that takes a genius to compose this.
And music and math has very tight correlation. Music and math skills.
Yes, that's what I've heard. Absolutely.
And actually, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But you know, we're on the subject of music here. I think this would be a good time to bring up the fact that one of the first things that gets cut out of the public schools, and I've asked the locals here, and a girl who's in elementary school, which is where she should be immersed in music. They should be having music class every day. They don't get any music in school, not in this school where I'm living. And I'm thinking in a lot of other schools, that's what they've cut is music. And, you know, music is one of the most basic things. So it's not just that it's nice to listen to or fun to play and you know, make music. It's not just that. It's not just about just like having a little bit of enjoyment. No, it is actually a very, very fundamental thing for the development of our brains.
Yes.
It's not just medicinal. It's formative.
It's formative
for our brains. And in fact, every part of our brain gets fired. Like the neurons in every single part of our brain gets fired up with music, either listening or playing. And of course, it's better to be playing it, but it's also really great to be listening. It's why one of the great things for elderly people who are actually starting to lose their minds and losing everything else, and they might look like zombies to you, but when you play an old familiar piece of music for them, they actually light up and you can see the spark of life in them. It's the last thing to go. It's the very last thing to go for people when they are in, you know, sort of latter stages of dementia and whatnot. And it's because every single part of the brain is engaged with music. So if you've lost, you know, 95% of your brain and you still have the 5%, well, guess what? It's still going to get fired up by music. So for them to cut that out of the schools, that is deliberate. That is deliberate. This is not an accident. Anyway, back over to one of you.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say that when I went to, when I was in, probably in junior high, I took home economics, which I thought was, for me, was valuable, although my mother certainly taught me how to cook, and I'm sure they don't teach home economics, and woodworking, which my brother took, and I know that it really helped him a lot, and he really enjoyed it, and later on it was very useful to him. But I'll bet you these courses would now be considered very dangerous because the blacks would go crazy if they had all those tools to work with and attack other people in the schools. And I guess music is another thing too that is gone by the wayside. I just have something, I've been doing a lot of reading because of the cold weather. I just want to read one paragraph that ties in with some of these black issues we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks. It's John Muir's 1,000-mile walk to the Gulf Revisited. Wow. Now, it's by a man called Rambling Ron Boone. He was probably a Boone from Kentucky. And this is just a short version. I really enjoyed reading it. Now, John Muir was a famous naturalist, more connected with the parks out in the Southwest, I guess the sequoias and different things. He was a botanist, but in 1867, right after the war, he was from Scotland. He walked from Indianapolis
all the way to what would be the west coast of Florida, passing through some of the cities in Kentucky. And I really enjoyed his what he found in these various cities, the poverty, the destruction. But I thought this was interesting. It kind of ties in with what we were talking about with the danger of the blacks. He was, like I say, he was footing it. He was walking. So October the 19th of 1867, this is what he quoted. This is from his demure journal. From his journal, he said he was lonely. In quote, he said, "Slept in the barrens at the side of a log. Suffered from cold and was drenched with dew. What a comfort a companion would be."
Sister Nancy, we have to go to our last break. Just hold that thought, and you can come to it after this last break. We're right back, people.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I have a message for you. Oh, sing unto the Lord to a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness. Now, because somehow, folks, I think I got off on the wrong verse. I'm going to go down here. Anyway, I lost the verse. I had sung it, read it earlier, but it goes something like this. It's a Psalm 98:2, but I don't see it now. And it goes, and this has to do with music. We've been talking about music. It's biblical. It goes something like this. I remember when I used to go to Sunday school when I was a kid, we'd go to the RA meetings. I think Royal Ambassadors is what they call them. It's for the Kool-Aid and the cookies and to play basketball with the older guys. But we had to sit through Bible verses. One of them was, they had a song that said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And it went on to talk about sing, give him singing and praise. So you see, musical goes way beyond before Mozart and Bach was ever even thought of. It goes all the way back to David, King David's day, before Christ. So musical is, not only is it biblical, not only is it therapeutic, medicinal, developmental, it's actually godly. So with that, I will go back to Sister Braveheart. She is our musician of the Blood River Radio family. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Well, I'm glad that came up for us, I think, to do with Mozart's birthday, and that's how that came in, because we hadn't even planned on talking about music, but it is a fundamental part of us. It's as fundamental to our being as language is.
As human white people.
Beings. Yeah, I would say you're right. And that's why they call music, classical music, is too racist, you know. In some places they're pushing the universities, for instance, to do less classical music and more, you know, bang 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 music or whatever, I don't know. So, but I want to bring something else up. In 3 days from now, that would be on January 30th. It is my brother Alfred's birthday, so you can maybe, you know, send him some good vibes that day, or better yet, write a letter. But if you want to write a letter, do it soon, because then 3.5 weeks later, on February 23rd, he'll be out. So this is really good news.
Alfred's going to come out.
But anyway, another anniversary, on January 30th, which is my brother's birthday, but a number of years before that, it was also January 30th that the biggest maritime disaster ever, that was the Wilhelm Gustloff ship, which was full of, I think, 5 or 6 times as many people died with that sinking as did on the sinking of the Titanic. And the Titanic is so famous. Everybody knows the Titanic, but how many people actually know the Wilhelm Gustloff? Maybe most listeners to this program do, because we've talked about it.
Yes, we have.
I'm telling you, it's not something that I knew about all my life. No, I learned about it just, you know, probably while I was in jail, because somebody wrote to me about it or something like that, you know? But that was a huge, and it was very purposeful. The Soviets, they knew that it was full to the brim with refugees, women, children, injured, just all refugees. They were trying to, white people, German people, to move them to safety. And yet, they waited till the ship was out in the deeper waters where not as many people could be rescued. They waited a few hours, and then, boom, they took it down. And it went down very quickly, and you know, relatively few survivors that could be rescued. So that's just another part of it. And, you know, it is Holocaust Remembrance Day, but they keep on having to drum into us about the 6 million in gas chambers, whereas we know it was bug spray to get rid of the lice, which were spreading typhus. Mm-hmm. And so they were actually saving lives with the Zyklon B that they did find, you know, the canisters of the Zyklon B. And that Zyklon B was being used to save lives, not to take lives. Well, actually, they were taking the lives of all the lice. The lice that were, it was 6 million lice. Now that
maybe
must be,
it was.
Yeah, so anyway, that all ties in. And if they had not been successful with that lie, then they could never have done 9/11, and they could never have done the COVID lie. They wouldn't be where they're at now if they did not get away with that lie of the Holocaust. So that is really still the linchpin lie of all, I think. And why is it they're making more and more museums? Why is it they're making laws against it in more and more countries, against questioning it, I should say, not against the Holocaust, against the questioning of it? And because if people think, oh, that's old news, Monica, why are you talking about that? We have bigger problems now. Well, why are they keeping on about it then, if it was not relevant? It is extremely relevant to our current situation.
Another point, why are there no memorials to the, you know, more people perished? Even, let's just say for sake of argument, that there were 6 million precious Jews were killed in the Holocaust. What about the 11 to 12 million upwards? It's at least, I've heard, Gibson, the lowest lowball figure I've heard is like 5 million. I've had the one figure upwards of 12 million that perished in the Holodomor. In the Ukraine, that the Jews, the Jewish-run Cheka, intentionally, they starve those people to death. They murder them the most horrible, most painful way. There's nothing much worse than starving them. Why? This is what amazes me. That never sticks. It slides off like water off of a duck's back when you try to publish those facts. But mm-hmm. that can be proved. That is documented from hell to hooray. But the Holocaust, there are no documents proving that. There's never been one single autopsy of one single prisoner to detect any type of the so-called Zyklon B, any type of poison in their body. But why does that lie stick like glue, like super glue, but yet the facts of the Holodomor and even the facts of the 66 million that died in the Siberia, why does no one know any about that? And when you try to tell, Monica, why does that lie? Why does it not stick? That's always been a puzzle to me. Do you have any possible clues?
Yeah, Eddie. Do you think it has to do with who owns and controls the media? And then those who always scream, "Ouch, ouch, ouch! You're hurting me." Those are the ones who are simultaneously wielding the knife into our backs. You know.
Yes.
And then you know something we didn't mention, and I don't know if Nancy, if you heard about this because it's very, very new, but apparently Vincent Renoir has lost his case to try to avoid extradition to France. And this has to do with, the 6 million in the gas chambers and all that. And so he's just been, you know, accused of that again, just like all these other political prisoners telling the truth. And yet,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just saw that he lost that legal battle. So I don't know when they are going to actually extradite him from Scotland to France, but in that case, he's going to have pretty rough conditions probably in the French prison as opposed to the Scottish prison where he has been held now for how long, Nancy?
Well, at least a year, at least maybe probably more than a year. Yeah, because I think he felt that was equal to the time in France that they were going to. He hoped that they would equal out the time he was spending in Scotland would be equal to the time he's supposed to spend in France. So it's been at least a year.
And tell the people one more time, what was his horrid offense? Because just in case a few people don't know.
Nancy, do you want to take this or I can do this? There was the massacre at Oradour.
Yeah.
Which he wrote about, he investigated. It's a little village in France where the National Socialist Army, the Nazis were accused of murdering, I don't know, is it 600 villagers or something? But he looked into that and he found that it wasn't true. Now, I don't know the details of that one, but then also the other one, the other big one, of course, is the gas chambers, the whole... You know, the underpinning of the whole Holocaust story is the gas chambers.
So I want our listeners to know without a shadow of a doubt
also something that you've pointed out, Nancy, is the fact that he calls himself Judeo-indifferent. Do you want to talk about that, Nancy?
Yes.
No, I don't know any more about it than you do, actually, except that I know that he's very neutral on the Jews. He's not anti-Jewish, although that's what they want to pin on him, of course, because he's doing real actual research, and they don't like the outcome of his research.
Exactly. So it's a good point to make, though, because if people, they always just say, oh, anti-Semitic. Yes. No, it's just facts.
Well, people, if we've run completely out of time for this second hour, we get to transition to the third hour, pick up the bitter ender himself. Sister Monica, God bless you. I know you have another radio interview, and I'm so glad because that makes Blood River Radio look even better, and I'm happy for you. But I'll stay in contact with you. I'll stay on contact better this time. I won't be so late. You do the same. Thank you for coming on, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Dear Blood River Radio family, we've got a transition to the third hour. We're going to pick up the bitter ender himself now, and Sister Nancy's going to accompany him down the trail to historical revisionism. Be right back, folks.